Radio.
Pope Francis on the Devil, a talk by Father Benedict LaVolpe at Evenings with Pope Francis.
As you can see, us Franciscans are made of really good stuff, so hopefully you'll get some edification out of tonight's talk. I'd just like to say very quickly that because the topic is a rather interesting one, I think before diving into Pope Francis, I'm going to keep saying Saint Francis, being a Franciscan, before diving into Pope Francis, there'll be just a little introduction about, firstly, of course, what the Church teaches about the devil. I think that's very important for us to know. And secondly, why Pope Francis is speaking about the devil. And of course, that comes from his being a Jesuit as well. Now, as we said, over the last 6 months of the papacy of Pope Francis, a lot has been said about the so-called radical changes that the Holy Father has already put in place. Everything is commented on: his dress, his gestures, the liturgy, the way he smiles, if he doesn't smile, when he waves, if he doesn't wave. And this can be very irritating as well for us Pope watchers like myself, for example, where we're almost living a heresy that there is almost this thought that there's no other Pope other than Pope Francis, and that nothing has been said or done of noteworthy over the last 2,000 years. Is that an exaggeration? Perhaps. But the greatest danger I see of this current of idolizing the Pope, rather than loving and respecting him for being the vicar of Christ, is that we are not really listening to what he has to say. Those of you like me who love to flaunt their Catholic faith on Facebook and other things would note the series of rather funny yet telling Catholic memes. They're called memes, aren't they? Good. I want to sound hip for a minute then, and that went down the drain. The rather funny memes that are going around regarding the Pope. My two favourite are these ones. There's the brace yourselves, the Pope gave another interview and the media misinterpretation is coming. And the other one is this three-part picture where on the top you have Pope Francis with the words, the Church should not speak constantly on controversial issues like gay marriage and abortion. And in the middle screen you have the newsreader saying, today the Pope defied and changed the teachings of his predecessor, Benedict XVI. Of course, the bottom screen you have Pope Francis almost giving a facepalm because he looks in great dismay. Why do I mention this? Because the Holy Father, a lot is communicated, and he has himself communicated some very serious points over the last 6 months, especially what I'm talking about tonight regarding the devil. Now, what does the Church teach about the devil? I think that's a good place to start, because sometimes some of us Catholics can put the devil in the realm of fantasy, and that, of course, would be the greatest triumph of the devil, to make us think that he doesn't exist. Both Scripture, tradition, and Church magisterium, that is the Church teaching over the last 2,000 years, all constantly affirm that God has in fact created angels and angelic beings to serve him. Some of the angels, of course, had a radical and irrevocable decision to reject God and his reign. Though created good by God, they became evil through their own choice. So they were cast from his presence in heaven, and they now attempt to seduce human beings away from God as well. The leader of these fallen angels has many names in sacred scripture: the evil one, the devil, the ruler of the world, Satan, serpent or dragon. And I mention these because these are the very words that Pope Francis will use throughout his talks as well. But of course, the one place we should always go to, and I stress that when we're discussing Church teaching on anything, is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Very good. And you know, I often have people come to me asking questions, and the first thing I'll say to them is, have you bothered to look up the Catechism? Oh, we don't have one. Do you have a computer? Yes. Well, then you have the Catechism, because it's online as well. Catechism reminds us that Satan, or the devil, and other demons are fallen angels who have freely refused to serve God and his plan. Their choice against God is definitive. They try to associate man in their revolt against God. In this petition, evil is not an abstract idea, but refers to a person, Satan, the evil one, the angel who opposes God. The devil, from the Greek diabolos, is the one who throws himself across God's plan and his work of salvation accomplished in Christ. The Catechism continues, victory over the prince of this world was won once and for all at the hour when Jesus freely gave himself up to death to give us his life. I mention that in particular because we have to always put Satan in the context of our history of salvation as well. The Catechism makes note, of course, on the fallen angels. Behind the disobedient choice of our first parents lurks a seductive voice opposed to God, which makes them fall into death out of envy. Scripture and the church's tradition see in this being a fallen angel called Satan or the devil. The church teaches that Satan was at first a good angel made by God. The devil and other demons were indeed created naturally good by God, but they became evil by their own doing. It was their choice. So, more or less, if you want to look up the catechism regarding the devil, I would suggest you do so. As I said, before going into what Pope Francis has to say about the devil, because believe it or not, he's still saying it, even today he continues to mention the evil one in many of his writings. We have to be reminded, where does Pope Francis come from? Now, believe it or not, I don't know how many people I've met in the last 6 months who keep thinking that Pope Francis is a Franciscan. Now, it'd be nice to claim him as one of our own, but believe it or not, there have been five, if not six, Brother Louis will correct him, I'm sure, conventual Franciscan popes throughout history. There hasn't been one since, I think, the 1700s. So we'll have to wait, I think, maybe a few more hundred years before we get a next conventional Franciscan pope. Might be a Capuchin in the meantime, but anyway, we'll see what happens. But of course, Pope Francis is a Jesuit, a member of the Society of Jesus, founded by St. Ignatius Loyola back in 1540. So gosh, that's about 340 years after the founding of the Franciscan Order. At the heart of what we call Ignatian spirituality, and when I use the word Ignatian, that's just the adjective that comes from Ignatius. So at the heart of Ignatian spirituality are what we call the spiritual exercises, which were, of course, composed by the saint even before he became a priest. Often described as Ignatius's greatest gift to the world, these exercises unfold a dynamic process of prayer, meditation, and self-awareness. The basic thrust is to make us more attentive to God's activity in our world, more responsive to what God is calling us to do. However, the evil spirit, the enemy, or what Ignatius calls Satan, is of course part of all this. Those feelings that pull us away from God oppose the spirit of God. Most of us feel that feeling that pulls us away from, most of us feel that pull between good and evil, healthy and unhealthy, selfish and generous in our lives. Ignatius talks about these things in terms of battle, and through a variety of means helps us to identify which spirit is at work. If you're going from one thing to another, on a downward path, Satan, the enemy, will encourage you to continue. Ignatius says that the enemy makes them imagine delights and pleasures of the senses in order to hold them fast and plunge them deeper into their sins. So if you're engaging in sinful behavior, easy. The evil one, of course, makes you feel good about being a sinner. In the second week, I think of the 5 weeks of the spiritual exercises, comes one of the central images of Ignatian spirituality. And he talks about the two armies arrayed for battle under two different flags, two banners. One side is that of Satan, the other is that of Christ. Take note of that, because that's going to come up quite a bit in Francis's talks. Now, this meditation, the influence of Ignatius' career as a soldier, is very obvious. He believed in the presence of evil in the world, and not simply as some vague impersonal force, but as a personified entity, Satan, a real being. Later, Ignatius had other occasions to discern spirits and to note how the evil spirit cloaks himself as an angel of light for those who have advanced a bit in their journey into a deeper intimacy with God. Make note of that as well, because again, something that Francis will take up. So, now that I've spoken a little bit about what the church talks about the devil and what St. Ignatius of Loyola, of course, taught about the devil, let's look at Pope Francis, a true son of St. Ignatius of Loyola, a true son of the Jesuit order, a true product of his Jesuit formation. If I'm not mistaken, Pope Francis celebrated 60 years of priesthood, which would mean that he would be celebrating a lot more than that in the Jesuit order. So imagine all those years of that Jesuit influence upon his own spirituality. To make this brief, through all the talks of Pope Francis, Francis sort of divides his talks regarding Satan in two areas. In many ways, he talks about Satan sort of on his own as the prince of this world. And in many of his talks, he'll talk about that battle, Christ or Satan, either or, never both and, which goes against our sort of current, sort of liberal, modern Catholic theology. It can't be both and in this case. It has to be either or. Believe it or not, Francis has in the past 6 months almost used every audience, catechesis, official homily, unofficial homily, off-the-cuff talk in mentioning Satan, the spirit of this world, and of course the spirit of darkness as well. If you do a simple online search, using anything, Google or news.va or Zenit or EWTN, you will find that almost every single day in Francis's talks, there is mention of evil, the devil, or the prince of this world. And that should really wake us up to something that Pope Francis is really pointing to. Something that, of course, secular media doesn't want to listen to. Something that even Catholic media misses out on. We've got to be smarter than that. We've got to listen to what the Pope is saying. Let's not be caught up in all these silly, superficial aspects of Pope watching. We've got to get to the heart of what Francis is saying by reading his works, what we, of course, in academic world will call primary sources. And that's what we should stick to. Now, of course, as I said, one of the ways that Pope Francis describes Satan is as the prince of the world. And we shouldn't be taken aback by that statement because of that whole Ignatian background that he has. Let's listen to his words. April 30. We can safeguard the church. We can cure the church. No? He's so Argentinian, Italian in the way. I'm Italian myself, so that's the way I speak, so it's no problem. We do so with our work, but what's most important is what the Lord does. He is the only one who can look into the face of evil and overcome it. The prince of the world comes, but can do nothing against me. If we don't want the prince of this world to take the church into his hands, we must entrust it to the one who can defeat the prince of this world. Here the question arises, do we pray for the church, for the entire church, for our brothers and sisters whom we do not know, everywhere in the world? It is the Lord's church, and in our prayer we say to the Lord, Lord, look at your church, it's yours. Your church is made up of our brothers and sisters. This is a prayer that must come from our heart. Listen to the passion of Pope Francis in saying to us, beware, beware, beware the prince of this world. Open your hearts to the King of Kings. Pope Francis makes it easy for us because he gives us good examples as well. One of them, of course, is I won't say fascination because that's the wrong word, but his insistence on the normal sins that we commit, for example, one of them being gossiping. As a friar, I can't talk because we're the worst gossipers in the world. But let's listen to the words of Pope Francis. When we prefer to gossip about others, criticize others, these are everyday things that happen to everyone, including me. Glad the Pope said so. These are the temptations of the evil one who does not want the Spirit to come to us and bring about peace and meekness in the Christian community. These struggles always exist in the parish, in the family, in the neighbourhood, among friends. Instead, through the Spirit we are born into new life. He makes us meek and charitable. Pope Francis is reminding us that our everyday struggles, of course, are accentuated when we give way to the prince of the world rather to the King of Kings. He's been having a great lot of catechesis at the moment on the church using Lumen Gentium, that beautiful document of the Second Vatican Council, as his sort of benchmark. And one of the things he talks about, of course, is the mission of the people of God. And he says, what is the mission of the people of God? To bring into the world the hope and salvation of God, to be a sign of God's love, which calls everyone to have a friendship with him, to be the yeast that leavens the dough, salt that gives flavor and protects from corruption, light that illuminates. All around us, just by opening a newspaper, as I said, we can see the presence of evil is there. The devil acts. But I would like to say out loud, God is stronger. And I would like to add that the sometimes dark reality marked by evil can change if we first bring about the light of the gospel above all with our lives. So Pope Francis has gone just from saying the prince of the world, of course, is here among us, to being very strong in saying the devil acts. He's really talking to us from his heart, saying, my children, don't think for a moment that the devil is just simply some abstract concept. He's here and he's working against the light that is Christ. These hints that were repeatedly dropped were already picked up by the press and have prompted reflections by many, including the Jesuit press. For example, Father Gian Domenico Mucci in Civiltà Cattolica, which is the Italian Jesuit magazine, wrote, for several decades, Catholic preaching has forgotten about the devil, who is fully present in all the documents of Vatican II. Some theologians have welcomed the opinion whereby Satan is a fruit of human fantasy, a figure dreamt up in pagan areas, only to later penetrate into Jewish thought. This would explain the stir which was created among believers and non-believers alike when the Pope started preaching about the devil. This is by his own Jesuit confreres, and they're right. Even though Pope Benedict did mention the devil on several occasions, people kept focusing on the wrong things when it came to Pope Benedict. Pope Francis, finally, they're realizing that these words come from the heart, as they did with all the popes, but they're starting to say, okay, the time to be silent about the devil is over. When the Holy Father uses words like this world, worldliness, mundane, he's referring to that which goes against the life of the Spirit. For example, his homily of the 20th of September reminds us of this very thing. Pope Francis, again, talks about very good examples. He talked about gossip, he talks about lying. In this case, he's talking about money. And he underlines St. Paul's warning on the dangers of one's love for money during that homily. The Holy Father stressed that idolatry to money gives birth to such evils as vanity and pride and turns us, and I quote, into maniacs of idle issues. Because of this desire for money, the Holy Father continued, many have strayed from the faith. The power of money can make one deviate from the faith and ultimately lose the faith. Pope Francis reminds us that some may object that the Ten Commandments never mention the evils of money. Again, he talks on our level. Yet when we worship money, he says, we are sinning against the first commandment and making money our idol in place of God. The early fathers of the church, whom, of course, he takes this very much from Pope Benedict, may I add, put in a very blunt way, calling money the dung of the devil, a good term, which corrupts and leads us away from our faith. Again, very earthy terms from a very earthy Holy Father. Pope Francis also puts the focus on the prince of this world when speaking about our notion of mercy. This is very important. Let's read his words. If we live by the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, we will never get out of that spiral of evil. The devil is clever. He dupes us into thinking that with our human justice, we can save ourselves and the world. In reality, only God's justice can save us. Only God's justice is revealed in the cross. The cross is God's judgment on all of us and on this world. But how does God judge us? By giving his life for us. This is the supreme act of justice that defeated the prince of this world once and for all. And this supreme act of justice is also the supreme act of mercy. Jesus calls all of us to follow this road. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Even talking about that beautiful aspect of mercy, the Holy Father reminds us of how easy it is to be duped by the devil in thinking that we are the ones dispensing that mercy. Just to finish this section on the prince of the world, I'd like to remind all of us of the beautiful moment in July, I think it was, when the Holy Father inaugurated brand new statue of St. Michael the Archangel in the Vatican Gardens. And I remember that moment well because the great Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI was with him on the very few occasions that Benedict has sort of come out from the monastery, you can call it. And why? Why would Pope Francis inaugurate this statue of St. Michael the Archangel? Let us listen to his words again. "There are several artistic works in the Vatican Gardens," he says. "However, this one, which is added today, assumes a place of particular importance, be it for its location, be it for the meaning it expresses. In fact, it's not only a celebratory work, but an invitation to reflection and prayer, which is well inserted in this year of faith. Michael, which means who is like unto God, is the champion of God's primacy, of his transcendence and power. Michael fights to re-establish divine justice. He defends the people of God from its enemies, and above all, from the enemy par excellence, the devil. Saint Michael triumphs because it is God who acts in him. This sculpture then reminds us that evil has been vanquished. The accuser is unmasked. His head is crushed because salvation was accomplished once and for all in the blood of Christ. Even if the devil always tries to scratch the archangel's face and man's face." Beautiful earthy imagery from the Pope. "God is stronger. The victory is his, and his salvation is offered to every man. We are not alone in life's journey and trials. We are accompanied and sustained by the angels of God." Now that was at the inauguration of the statue of St. Michael the Archangel. A couple of months after that, when he had the visitation to the Vatican gendarme, the Vatican police force, he again almost consecrated the gendarme to St. Michael the Archangel. He said to the gendarme, "I ask you not only to defend the gates, the doors and the windows of the Vatican, necessary and important work as well, but to defend, just as your patron Saint Michael, the doors of the hearts of those who work in the Vatican, where temptation enters exactly as elsewhere. There is temptation. I would like to say it thus for everyone, even for me," the Pope says, "for everyone, a temptation that the devil likes very much, that against unity, when hidden dangers work directly against the unity of those who work and live in the Vatican, and the devil tries to create internal war, a kind of civil war and spiritual war. It is a war that is not waged with the weapons that we recognized. It is a war waged with the tongue." You can see that Pope Francis is speaking not only from personal experience, but from what he himself, of course, has, I dare say, witnessed and experienced in his short time as the Holy Father. I'll move on now, just to finish off, with that second part. If you remember, I said he talks about the devil as prince of this world, which I've just mentioned. Of course, he also talks often about that battle between good and evil, straight from St. Ignatius of Loyola. And would you believe, on the very first Mass he celebrated as the Holy Father, which is the Mass with the Cardinals, the Missa pro Ecclesia, as it's called, and that was on the 14th of March, this is what he said. He set the scene for his papacy. "We can walk as much as we want. We can build many things. But if we do not profess Jesus Christ, things go wrong. We may become a charitable NGO, but not the church, the bride of the Lord. When we are not walking, we stop moving. When we are not building on stones, what happens? The same thing that happens to the children on the beach when they build sandcastles. Everything is swept away. There is no solidity. When we do not profess Jesus Christ, the saying of Leon Blois comes to mind. Anyone who does not pray to the Lord prays to the devil. When we do not profess Christ Jesus, we profess the worldliness of the devil, a demonic worldliness." That was his very first homily as the Holy Father. He truly set the scene of what a Jesuit Pope is going to do. We were reminded, of course, he is the first Jesuit Pope in history. And Pope Francis, of course, shows his Ignatian colours again. Mentioned earlier about St. Ignatius talking about the angel of light, as in duping. But Pope Francis says that the light the world offers is strong, like a firework of a camera flash, but it's artificial. It's the light of the world. The light of Jesus, instead, is mild and quiet. Christian identity, the Holy Father said, is an identity of light, not of darkness. This light, he observed, is not well liked by the world, but Jesus came precisely to save us from sin. His light saves us from the darkness. On the other hand, he continued, one might think that there is the possibility of having the light with so many scientific things and so many things of humanity. You can know everything, you can have knowledge of all things and this light on things, but the light of Jesus is something else. It is not a light of ignorance, no, it's a light of wisdom and sagacity. It is something other than the light of the world. And that's, of course, something that Pope Francis stresses time and time again in his writings, talking about light and darkness. This battle, just as Ignatius of Loyola spoke about, and when I was reading something just the other day about the Ignatian spirituality, the Jesuit author reminded the readers that you see that so much in Hollywood films these days as well, that whole dichotomy of light and darkness. He used the example of the Lord of the Rings movies, that whole dichotomy of light and darkness. He even used the Harry Potter movies, heaven forbid, as an example of light versus darkness as well. We see it in movies, we see it in Hollywood, but yet we fail to see it in real life. Of course, the Pope puts the cross as the centre of this battle as well. He reiterates the role of the cross, of humility and meekness in counterattacking, of course, the prince of this world. This great dichotomy was seen very much so in his Palm Sunday homily, which, of course, you know, you think, well, that would be the place to talk about it because of the whole action that's happening on Palm Sunday. The Pope writes, Jesus is God, but he lowered himself to walk with us. He's our friend, our brother. He illumines our path here, and in this way we have welcomed him today. And hear the first word that I wish to say to you, joy. Do not be men and women of sadness. A Christian can never be sad. Never give way to discouragement. Ours is not a joy born of having many possessions, but from having encountered a person, the person of Jesus in our midst. It is born from knowing that with him, we are never alone, even at our most difficult moments. Even when our life's journey comes up against problems and obstacles that seem insurmountable, and there are so many of them. And in this moment, the enemy, the devil, comes, often disguised as an angel, and slyly speaks his word to us. Do not listen to him. Let us follow Jesus. We accompany, we follow Jesus, but above all, we know that he accompanies us and carries us on his shoulders. This is our joy. This is the hope that we must bring to this world. Please do not let yourselves be robbed of hope. Do not let hope be stolen. The hope that Jesus gives you. Again, that fight against good and evil, that choice between light and darkness, a choice that ultimately is ours. World Youth Day, which I'm sure some of you are at, you'll remember his words at the vigil. Every one of us respond in his or her heart, am I courageous or am I a coward? Or maybe we are like thorny ground, negativity, negative feelings choke the Lord's word in us. Do I have the habit of playing both sides in my heart? Do I make good impression for God or for the devil? Do I want to receive the seed from Jesus and at the same time water the thorns and the weeds that grow in my heart? As I said before, we cannot have a both and attitude with our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has to be either or. Either we choose our Lord or we choose the devil. The Pope makes it very clear for us in his writings. And finally, I'd like to just mention the beautiful words that the Holy Father spoke about at his homily on the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I make note of this for two reasons. Firstly, Brother Louis reminded me about it, and second, the Assumption is my birthday, so it's always a very special day for me. The Holy Father said, the passage from Revelation presents the vision of the struggle between the woman and the dragon. Remember that word dragon from earlier. The figure of the woman representing the church is on one hand glorious and triumphant, and yet on the other still in travail. And the church is like that. If in heaven she is already associated in some way with the glory of her Lord, in history, she continually lives through the trials and challenges which the conflict between God and the evil one, the perennial enemy, brings. And in the struggle which the disciples must confront, all of us, all the disciples of Jesus, we must face this struggle. Mary does not leave them alone. The Mother of Christ and the Church is always with us. She walks with us always. She is with us. And in a way, Mary shares this dual condition. She has, of course, already entered once and for all into heavenly glory. But this does not mean that she is distant or detached from us. Rather, Mary accompanies us, struggles with us, sustains Christians in their fight against the forces of evil. Pray with Mary, especially the rosary. Listen carefully. The rosary. Do you pray the rosary every day? The Pope said. Well, pray with Mary, especially the rosary. Has this suffering dimension that is of struggle, a sustaining prayer in the battle against the evil one and his accomplices. The rosary sustains us in the battle against evil. So just to round up, as I said, Pope Francis is very much a product of his Ignatian formation, of him being a Jesuit. He has interiorized close to 70 years of Jesuit theology, spirituality, and a big part of that is the role of Satan in our spiritual lives and in the world. This prince of the world is active in trying to take us away from the life of grace. He glories in our inability to see sin for what it really is. There is always a contraposition between our life of grace, which means living a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what the devil is trying to do, and that is wage a battle for our souls. Pope Francis is trying to wake us up from this passivity that has grown over the years regarding the role of the devil. He does so with easy language, easy examples, for example, money, gossip, fear, and consistency. Let us pray that rather than seeing the Pope as some big, cuddly teddy bear, the world may really start listening to the voice of the Church through him, our Holy Father. Thank you very much.
That was Father Benedict LaVolpe with Pope Francis on the Devil. Evenings with Pope Francis was an initiative of Catholic Youth Services Sydney. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.